near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio, talking football across Australia, Fitzham up to Marion. How are you, Fitzham?
I'm excellent. How are you going, Emma?
You're looking beautiful, mate, if I may say so. It's a big big week for football.
Definitely.
And we don't have Michelle Bertrand this week. She's out there taking kids to football to rather than talking it. She's watching it or playing it. We've got Terry Henry. Terry, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Eamon. Not looking beautiful tonight, though.
Well, you're not looking too bad. And it is great to have you in the studio as well, Terry, believe it or not.
Thanks very much.
No problem. Okay, coming up in the first hour, what have we got, Fitzham?
Well, coming up in the first half hour, we chat to Canberra United coach Robbie Hooker, and also we talk to so-called expert journalist Peter Fitzsimons from Sydney Morning Herald.
Boo!
Double that.
Yeah.
And we talk Asian Champions League, A-League and soccerers, and we've also got big issues, quizzes, educations and more.
And you can contact us, as always, on the email, nearpost2xx@gmail.com, or catch us on the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com, and we're being streamed across the world, so you can listen to us wherever you are, in any country, any football stadium in the world. Go through the blog and you'll find the stream address. Now, we dedicate the show every week, and this week we're going to dedicate it to one of Australia's finest football coaches, Aurelio Vidmar, a man on the way up. He's already taken his team potentially to, he's certainly going to take them to Uzbekistan, whether he's taken them to the semi-final. We're going to talk about the Asian Champions League. But Aurelio Vidmar, watch his career rise. We're observing it, and it's looking good. So we dedicate the show to Aurelio, the first of the new young coaches coming through. And the quiz question this week, and this is why we've got Terry in here, because he's been an expert. Who are the top goal scorers in the A-League, the top three goal scorers in the A-League?
Well, that's not the question you got written down on the sheet.
No.
Near post, we'll wish them luck. The near post, we'll wish them luck.
That's not the question I've got written down on the sheet, Terry, because if I gave you the question on the sheet, you'd know the answer, knowing you, because I know what you like. You do your research. Now, who are the top three goal scorers in the A-League?
Charlie Timtam.
Charlie Miller, that's right.
Danny Allsop.
And Matt Simons.
Matt Simons. Terry got it wrong. He got it wrong.
Cristiano.
No, not Cristiano. Terry's devastated. I'll give you one more go, Terry.
Who's the other one?
He plays for Wellington, Phoenix.
It's Shane Smeltz.
Shane Smeltz.
Okay,
yeah.
Well done, Terry.
I was very confident about that.
You were very confident and unlucky, mate. But yeah. That's why we love it. I'm having him on again. He got it wrong.
Do know how many Brazilians play for Adelaide, though.
Yeah, that was the question we were going to have, but we're not having that question. Okay, enough of this frivolity. We've got some news. Fire away.
The Central Coast Mariners' Danny Vukovic is back. He actually played on the weekend for the youth team, and he's signed an extension of 3-year contract with the Central Coast team as well.
Mark Viduka, heard of him? Will he ever play again? We asked the questions last week. Well, you guys did, I wasn't here. But the papers have the story this week.
Townsville struggling to sign anyone. Seems like Gold Coast are getting every player in the world associated with them, but Townsville yet to sign anybody, and looking like they don't have an awful lot of money to sign players, but wait and see.
In the Asian Champions League, Gamba Osaka drew 1-1 against Urawa Reds, and of course Aaron Adelaide won against Bunyod 3-0 last week, and I think they'll repeat that when they get to Uzbekistan as well, Tashkent.
Confident man. We'll talk about that a bit later. Harry Kewell out injured for the Socceroos. Mark Milligan, as we say every week, still has no club. And this week it may be the Jets. We said that last week.
It's a playback.
Yeah.
What about the Gold Coast? They're linked with just about everybody as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen his name mentioned, but with them, maybe, you never know. The under-17s, Australian under-17s, lost to the UAE 3-2 in injury time. So that was in the Asian Cup in Tashkent. Everything happens in Tashkent. But also, more importantly, they missed out on the World Cup place. So that's bad news.
It is. I think they went well until that point.
Under-19s had better luck. They beat Korea Republic with the James Holland penalty in penalty shootout to win the ASEAN Cup. They now head to Saudi Arabia in November for the Asia Cup, which also acts as their World Cup qualifier. So better luck to them. And the W League.
Yeah, W League fixtures are out. And Perth will play Sydney in the opener, which will be televised on ABC a first game, and Canberra United start away to Newcastle, which will be played in the Hunter Valley.
We've got an interview with Robbie Hooker, the Canberra United coach, coming up in just a moment. And the big topic this week, A-League expansion, financial crisis going on around the world. Some people have been talking about that, I've heard. But apparently Ben Buckley says we're still expanding in the A-League. So at the moment it's Canberra ahead of Wollongong and West Sydney. Who are you? Where are you?
Well, I think Canberra's closer, definitely.
I think so. Okay, we're going to talk Socceroos. What have you got? Socceroos, what's happening?
It's a game on this week, I think, isn't it, Fitzer?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a game on tomorrow. And I think it'll be a very important game for Australia, making sure that we win this game.
Okay, it's a crucial game against Qatar in Brisbane. They're not allowed to call it the Suncorp Stadium. You have to call it the Brisbane Stadium, apparently, when the World Cup's on. Big deal. But anyway, so it's a crucial game. It's only our second game. But I'm predicting if Australia win, we are going to the World Cup because we'll be in second place. Some teams will have played three games.
Three games, yeah.
And if we have two wins out of two, 6 points, who's going to knock us off? What do you think, Terry?
Oh, look, it's all set up for an Australia win. We've beaten them twice already, scored six goals in the previous two meetings and only conceded the once. I think our biggest danger will be complacency and maybe Craig Moore.
Craig Moore. More is less. So Craig Moore instead of a
coin.
Chris Coyne.
That's the word of the moment. I find that very hard to understand because Coyne has played really well in the last few games.
It has, but it does look, from what Terry's been finding out today for us, he says that you reckon Craig Moore's got the nod?
Well, that's according to Michael Cockerill, that other fine journalist from the Sydney Morning Herald.
Now, we like Mike because he talks football, so that's okay.
That's all right.
We're not going to...
But sometimes his tips are a little bit questionable.
They are a little bit. But so Craig Moore, I mean, when he played against Qatar last time, he was exposed through his pace. Although we won 3-0 the second half, he was cruelly exposed. Mm. He retired in that game, went off to a nice standing ovation or whatever he did. And now he's back. What's it all about?
Well, we're getting closer to the World Cup is one thing.
Yeah.
The other is, I guess, he probably feels like he's missing out. I'm not sure if he did give away a lot of free kicks on that game because he was just, as soon as players turn, and if he lets them turn, they're gone. So he was quick to give the free kicks away.
The defence is going okay. Scott Chipperfield back, and I mean, he had a superb game in Tashkent. I just love saying Tashkent, by the way. And now that I know where it is. And Lucas Neal seems to be back to his best. Luke Wiltshire or Brett Emerton at fullback. But the central, why would you bring Craig Moore in? Because let's face it, Quintana, the Qatari Brazilian or Uruguayan, Uruguayan, I think, attacker.
Quintana,
I mean, he's superb, isn't he? And he's going to give Craig Moore all sorts of problems.
Yeah, look, it does seem strange to me. I mean, and Coyne has done nothing wrong the last few games that he and Lucas Neal seem to be setting up, establishing a pretty good central defensive partnership. So, I mean, look, it's not official yet as far as I know, but certainly Cockerill seemed pretty sure that Moore would be back in.
Okay, defence is okay. Midfield and attack, we've got no Harry Kuehl and we've got no Marco Bresciano. And,
no Vinnie Grella and no Carl Valeri.
No, so there's at least four out. And, of course, Mark Viduka doesn't play. But so there's four out. Two of those, Harry and Bresciano, are always in amongst or around making the goals.
Mm.
Do we have a problem?
Well, I think it's great for opportunity for the younger guys in the squad to give them that chance to play at the top level. I think Jacob Burns, or I reckon, he'll probably get a starting place in the midfield and
alongside Timmy Cahill back. And Jason Kalina will probably play alongside. Yeah, Timmy Cahill's back. I mean, he's always prone to score a goal or two.
Yeah,
right.
You'd play him. I'd expect he'd play behind the strikers.
Yeah.
Two strikers, do you think, in this game?
You would need to. I think so.
Scott, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh and Scott McDonald. Scott McDonald on a high after taking Celtic to the top of the Scottish Premier League. So, you'd have to play...
Unfortunately, I'd probably pick Holman over
McDonald.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, behind, he'd do a lot of work just behind.
Who are you going to pick on the left side, though? If you're going to have Timmy Cahill maybe behind the front two.
I think David Carney might get another run.
Further forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chipperfield will play behind him.
Yeah. I don't like Carney as fullback, but in front of Chipperfield, I think.
Okay, so you're going to have, this is how I'm thinking it's going to line up. You're going to have Emerton on the right. We've got the defence sorted, haven't we? So you've got Emerton on the right. You've got Kalina and Cahill. Are you going to play those two in the middle with Carney on the left?
Yeah, and I'd even look at Paul Reed as well. Paul Reed's been playing well. I'm not sure. There's a big jump from the A-League to...
That's a big jump. And then forward to then McDonald. Yeah. Sorry, not McDonald. Kennedy and either you're saying Holman or McDonald. And you'd probably go for Holman.
I'd prefer to see McDonald and... Kennedy to give that give that another run.
Well, they beat them 3-0 with that, those two in the forward line. Yeah. So, you know, we should be good enough. But we do need a win.
Oh, definitely.
If we don't get a win, it's a nightmare.
Well, it's not a nightmare. I don't think it's a big setback, because I think we're in credit already, having won away from home. But
we can't afford to drop too many points at home.
Mm. But I just think, yeah, given our past performances against them, we should get another win.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we should be looking at trying to finish second either. That's going to get a bit dangerous. I think we've just got to try and get as many points as we can.
Japan playing Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan lost to South Korea 3-0 on the weekend in a friendly. Mm. I mean, you'd imagine Japan in Tokyo, I assume the games in Tokyo are going to...
Saitama, actually.
Saitama, yeah. So, assuming they beat... you're such an expert, Terry. That's why I love you. Assuming they beat Uzbekistan, which you'd expect them to, then Uzbekistan, surely you're out.
Yeah, three games, three defeats. It's a long way back from there.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge, I think, for Japan as well, to try and contain a team that's lost two in a row. Try and play their own game, because I think Uzbekistan will come out to try and win the game as well.
If Pim wins tomorrow, he's apparently gets a record, so everybody keeps telling us. I mean, big deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's enough of a comparison with
Hiddink
at all. No.
Playing against Italy, Brazil and Croatia.
And it'll mean nothing if we don't qualify.
No,
exactly.
All right, we're going to talk women's football, Canberra United, with coach Robbie Hooker coming up in... I caught up with him this week. Robbie's announced some more players in his squad, and he talked about the plans and the progress, and this is what he had to say.
I'm talking to Canberra United coach Robbie Hooker. Robbie, new players, new announcements. What's been the announcement today for the team?
Well, obviously, the new announcement, sponsorship announcement from ACTU AGL, has come on board as a shirt sponsor, a major sponsor as well. So that's really good news. Obviously, they're part of the A-League bid. And now they're going to support the W League team coming out as well. So I think it's a really good, positive step.
It certainly is. We've got a few sponsors now, haven't we, with the Tradies Club, is it? Oh, no, sorry, the CFMEU. And...
Yep. And the ACT government, and now the ACT AGL. But obviously, you know, we're looking for people who are prepared to financially back the club.
Fantastic, and a great start. Now, Robbie, what about this squad? There's been an announcement with the squad today.
Yeah, we've added another four or five players to the original list of eight players. So we've now got Ashley Sykes, Bronwyn Studman, Ellie Brush, Rebecca Keating and Christine Walters have all been added to the roster.
So quite an interesting addition there. Ashley Sykes obviously just played overnight for the Matildas, actually, in their win. Dubbo Gill, so that's one for the country for us.
Yeah, we've managed to get a few people from out west, the Wild West. So Ashley's got a lot of good potential about her. She's very quick, still very young and very raw, but hopefully that being with the more experienced players at Canberra United, we'll bring the best out of her. I'm sure she'll learn quickly. And as you pointed out, she's in the promising midfielder squad who's over at, in Vietnam at the moment, had a good win last night.
And also Chrissy Walters and Bronwyn Studman and Ellie Brush, Rebecca Keating, those players are kind of known to a lot of the people who follow women's football around town, so it's good to see them getting a go.
Yeah, well, they're obviously some of the bright young players that have come through the ACTAS program. Now in the Bronwyn and Chrissy in the Young Matildas squad. So they would probably be heading off in a couple of weeks' time for their qualifying for the World Cup. And Ellie's a former Young Matildas player who went to many camps and didn't quite make the final, the selection squad for the 2008, 2006 and World Cups. But she's a player who's been at ACTAS for a long time now and has improved in the last two or three years significantly enough that she wanted to start in the Canberra United side.
Robbie, that leaves about 13 players. I think you were talking about particularly focusing on a central midfield player. Don't think you've got that in your list yet, and you've still got a few spots available. What's the next plan?
We've got three or four players from Brisbane coming down this weekend to trial and see how they go. So one or two of those players can play in central midfield. We've got another local player, Sian Majeski, who's a central midfield player. Who's still trolling with us. So We've got a few options up our sleeve. We'd still like to try and secure a guest player or a marquee player from the US to fill that hole, if possible, down the track. So it's a matter of just trying to sort through this weekend the players that come down and see how they shape up and see if we still need to fill that area.
When will we be announcing the next... you're heading for 18 in the squad, is that right, Robbie?
You've got to have minimum 18 and a maximum of 20 by... the first game, which is only 2 weeks away. So by the middle of next week, I'd hope to have all but one or two spots finalised, I would think.
So 2 weeks of the first game. How are you feeling now?
To be honest, it could be 6 months away. I'm just sort of being that busy until we actually get on the bus and head up to Newcastle. We probably won't actually kick in till then. So everything's been happening so quickly and so busily that it doesn't give you time to try and think about what happens or what could happen. So that's a good thing, I think.
And you've got the first two games away, Robbie. Is that good for you and the team, do you think?
Oh, I think it's pretty good because it gives us a chance to have a look at the players and see what the league's about. We're not have the pressure of trying to win games at home. I mean, obviously you want to try and win all your home games if you can. To have two away games where you can, the other team's going to be under pressure to win those games, it'll be a good lead-in for us for our first home game in round three.
Okay, well, good luck, Robbie, and we'll be in touch, no doubt.
Okay, Aaron, thanks for that.
Robbie Hooker, the Canberra United coach, just days away from the W League kick-off. And we'll also hear, the Canberra listeners will be able to hear from Elliot Brush, a new signing in the second half of the show coming up just after 7 o'clock. Now then, Terry Henry, you're not here for your just to sit there quietly. You've always got something on your mind. What's on your mind this week?
Have I got something on my mind, Eamon?
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, I have, actually.
What's on your mind?
Your mate, Peter Fitzsimons. I know you are a mate of his because I've seen you regularly exchange emails with him. But in the week when Adelaide United, on the verge of becoming the first Australian club to reach the final of the Asian Champions League, potential TV audience of about 4 billion, with their stunning victory over the Uzbeki side, Kurumchi, complete with World Cup winner Rivaldo and coached by Brazilian legend, the white Pelé Zico, who did Fitzy have in his team of the week in his Fitzfiles column? Who do you think? Come on, ask me.
Okay, well, we should point out that the Fitzfiles column is every week on the Sydney Morning Herald, on the back of the Sydney Morning Herald page. It covers all sorts of sport. And Fitzsimons is one of the foremost journalists in Australia, not just sports journalists, but he's written some fine books.
That's right.
And he is a former Wallaby. So he tends to, he's an educated man. So who did he have on?
Okay, so let me read out to you the list of Fitzy's team of the week from this week's Sydney Morning Herald. Richie Benno.
No,
happy birthday, Richie Benno.
Happy birthday, Richie Benno.
Turned 78.
He's a great Australian, mate. I don't want you knocking Richie.
That's right. Cameron Smith, the Melbourne Storm, I think that's a rugby league team, player. He missed the grand final last week because he has a fondness for trying to remove people's head with his bare hands.
No, he's not.
Otherwise known as the grapple tackle.
Okay, it was rugby league week, yeah. So that's okay.
Casey Stoner won the Australian Motorcycling Grand Prix. No problem with that. I'm a big fan of Casey.
I've seen you on your bike.
Yeah, should be in a school uniform, I reckon. But Daniel Braid. He is a Kiwi who joined the Queensland Reds. I think that's rugby. The first foreign signing by a Super 14 team, except that's for the Tongans, Fijians and Samoans.
That's pathetic, isn't it? That's a pathetic mention. Keep going.
First innings. Do you know who first innings is?
I don't know what you're
talking. First innings is Ricky Ponting's greyhound. Must have won a race.
Right, okay. No idea.
OJ Simpson was in his team of the week.
Yeah, keep going.
Harry Bath, who I think was a rugby or rugby league coach who passed away, sadly.
Right.
His next selection was a 90-year-old golfer who got his first hole-in-one. I think that's a good one. Yeah, we should include that.
Yep.
And then the final selection was a Queensland Junior Rugby League team who beat a New South Wales Junior Rugby League team or something.
That's why he is Australia's finest sports journalist.
That's right. Well, anyway, this is what I think of Fitzy. Or this is what I think should be in the team of the week.
Okay, so Terry, you're going to help Fitzy out because Fitzy...
I think we should keep Richie because, as you said, he's an Australian legend. Yep. Casey Stoner,
yep,
an emerging Australian legend,
yep,
and a 90-year-old golfer because he gives hope to us all. But I would add that Adelaide United,
yep,
on the verge of reaching the Asian Champions League final, they deserve to be there. Casio, he, yep, may not be the first foreign signing in the A-League, but in terms of impact, it's hard to go past any other foreign player in any code who's had more of an impact in a single game.
It certainly adds up for me.
Yeah. And the near post team.
the near Paris team. Why wouldn't you have them in?
Well, that's right. We should be in every week.
So interestingly, I mean, we had Peter Fitzsimons on the show recently, and basically he said he tries to do it to wind football fans up. Why do you think he does do it?
Well,
why isn't he covering football?
Personally, I think he's just a classic bully. Bullies strike out at things that they fear, and I think deep down he fears that football will have such a huge impact on his own beloved code that he won't promote it at any cost unless somebody pays him to go to the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Because he became a fan for a few weeks in 2006, from memory.
Ron Barassi, the great AFL player, said that he thought by 2030 there would be three codes left in Australia. Now, I'm not about to predict which of the other codes will still be surviving along with football, but if that is the case, then there's certainly a lot of people going to be very...
I take it Gaelic football wasn't on the three codes.
No, it wasn't. All right, we're going to talk... thanks, Fitzy, and thanks, Terry, for both of your contributions.
Yeah, thanks, Fitzy, you plonker.
We'll keep you informed with what Fitz is writing about this week. See if he changes his tune.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
Okay, we're talking Asian Champions League, and this is Real Football with Adelaide United. Fantastic win, 3-0 last week. Fitz, what were your thoughts on that night?
Well, that was amazing. That was, the first 20 minutes or so that... Adelaide were basically on the back foot, but they still managed to hold their line, I guess. But the way they came back and the way they scored the goal and the amount of work they did in the midfield, I think when the midfielders even counting Cassio as a midfielder now, the way they played was unbelievable. I think definitely your first dedication to Aurelio Vidmar as a coach definitely deserved so.
It was interesting that Paul D'Agostino was left out of the squad. Interesting to me, anyway, and it worked. I mean,
definitely.
You know, and certainly. I watched the first 60 minutes. I watched the whole game with Terry actually, but the first 60 minutes with Terry, there was no way I could see Adelaide winning. How about you, Terry?
Well, it was definitely a game of two halves. The first half was 60 minutes, and it was all Kurumvi, and the second half was the final 30 minutes, and it was all Adelaide. And those goals. Certainly, the first goal came totally out of the blue, but it was fantastic.
Was it just a case of our Brazilians better than their Brazilians? Cassio, Diego, and the other fella.
You know,
Cristiano.
Cristiano, that's it.
Well, Cristiano, three of them. Talking about Cristiano, I mean, he played on his own up front for pretty much most of the game, and he did a great job at the front. He still managed to put a bit of fear into the back line of Caruti, and I think, and from then on, as Terry said, from the 60 minutes on, when Diego started to get involved in the middle, that was a big difference there.
I mean, Zico can't coach teams beyond the 60-minute mark.
He can't coach. No, he's hopeless. I think, good point there, Terry. I think also, no matter what happens in the second game, you know, the fact that Adelaide have beaten the Chinese, Japanese and Korean champions, you know, in some of those leagues and teams are pretty cashed up. I mean, I think it shows that you can recruit Brazilians cheaply, but it also shows that we've got a core here like Scott Jamieson, Travis Dodd, Robbie Cornthwaite,
Paul Reed,
a whole heap of players in Australia that can actually play at that level. And it really is, to me, more important than the game. It really shows where Australian football can go across Asia as the Asian League and the Asian Champions League booms.
Yeah.
Just on Travis, I'm actually surprised he hasn't made the Socceroos squad because I think he'd be...
Well, Pim said he's very good, but Pim also said that, like Nicky, he doesn't do it. He either holds onto the ball a bit long. He's not bothered about his attacking work, but he said he doesn't do enough defensively. And I think, again, at that international level, you've got to be, you know, up and back. And look who he's up against. Come on, let's be honest. He's up against Brett Emerton, and he's a man, he's a machine, isn't he? So to play that position, he's actually got to be better than Brett Emerton.
I guess that means that Travis Dodd has got to find a team elsewhere in Europe, possibly, to try and get this experience and get himself in line for a position. Otherwise, playing in the A-League doesn't seem to be enough for Pim to pick players at the moment.
Except for Craig Moore.
Craig
Moore's played 5 games and he's in there.
He's not definitely selected yet. But, okay, so 3-0, everybody but us know that 3-0 is the most dangerous league in football. It used to be 2-0 in Australia, but now it's 3. Liverpool, they love 3-0 down against AC Milan, and Wollongong, of course, came back from 3-0 down against Perth to win one of the old NSL finals. 3-0, is it enough?
I think the first 20 minutes or so is going to be crucial in the second leg. If they can sort of weather the Kurumvi storm in that initial period and silence the crowd, then hopefully they'll be home.
Only 16,000 in the stadium, so you know,
so it'll be like Adelaide then.
Yeah, well, it won't be too intimidating, will it?
No, but I think it also I know there's a few players in the Karutsi team that will be involved for the Uzbekistan national team as well. I think that'll be something
that's good. So they've flown to Adelaide this week, they've flown to South Korea, then they've flown to Japan, and then they're back. I mean,
and it's good to get that losing mentality. Keep that losing habit going, guys.
What about Rivaldo? He got kicked a few times. We enjoyed that, didn't we, fans?
Well, yeah. I think the first three times he touched the ball, he got cleaned up. And after that, he didn't want to hold on to the
ball.
Fair
play to him, though. I didn't see him clutch his face once.
Not once, no.
His face elsewhere he did, but his face
got nice and stuck into him. But Diego, to me, I've been a big fan of Diego, and he scored the first goal. Mm. He really is a big player, and I think he's getting better as...
Definitely, just the way he took that goal as well, under pressure in the box, and he was able to control it and pick a spot.
They were the luckiest three goals in the world, wasn't there? There was a question of handball over Diego's. Travis Dodd flew like an AFL player on top of the other guy, and he still got away with it.
Yeah.
And the penalty, it was a little light fella from Brazil got felled, and they gave a penalty. So I think you'll never get an easier 3-0 home win in the semi-final than that, will you?
Well, I think they made their own luck, though. They played pretty much right to the end.
They did, because you think at 2-0 you would have just sat back and settled for it, but they went they went and got another one. So it's going to be a great night.
I think they'll go there and do the job.
And we know Michelle, when Michelle's here, she would definitely be convinced.
Yeah, I'll say it for Michelle, it's going to be 2-0 up there.
She would
have
booked her. In fact, she wouldn't even bother sending Adelaide. She knows that they're going to win. She just said there's no point going.
Just send the youth team, yeah.
Yeah. The most optimistic football fan in Australia, and it's great. We miss you, Michelle. So that's soccer is tomorrow night and Asian Champions League next week. And in between, what are the fixtures coming up?
A-League this week, Queensland Roar against Adelaide United.
Which is good because they can fly out from Brisbane, which is local. It's the nearest place to Uzbekistan in the A-League.
The Newcastle Jets against the Victory.
Yep.
Perth Glory against Sydney.
Yeah.
And the Central Coast Mariners up against Wellington Phoenix.
And first round of the Women's League, we've got Perth play Sydney FC.
The following week.
That's right.
Yeah, so
it's a week ahead.
We're just getting it's good to get those practices for the W League. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, well, we've got to go. We'll be talking Women's League next week. We'll be talking Socceroos, no doubt, and we'll be talking Asian Champions League and a whole lot more. And wherever you are across Brisbane, get out there and support the Socceroos tomorrow night. And remember, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Coming up in just a moment, we've got the local football show with Pete Papathanasiou and Russ Gibbs.
Good evening there, folks. You're on the near post. I'm Plastic Pete, and joining me this evening, we've got Eamon Flanagan.
Great to be here with you, Plastic Pete. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. And Ross Gibbs.
Nice to see you there, Plastic.
Oh, jeez. I wish it was nice to be here. I'll get there. This week, we've got a massive half hour coming up. We take a look at what's been making news in Canberra tonight. We'll also hear from Canberra United new signing, Ellie Brush. We've got an interview with her. And we'll talk to Russ about Capital Football Presentation Night. If you've got a Canberra football story for us, please contact the show. Emails go to the near post. Sorry, to nearpost2XX. Did I do that right, Eamon?
You're doing great, mate. Nearpost2XX at gmail.com.
2XX, not 2XX.
No, that's right, 2XX, thanks.
I'm being too precise for my own good here. Or catch the podcast on the blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com.
Hello, I'm Laurie McKenna from the Central Coast Mariners. You're listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM.
Okay, so we're going to start with some news here. First of all, starting off, Canberra United's first home game in the Women's A-League is away to Newcastle. The second game is on television and is going to be, I believe, on ABC, is it?
Yeah, they haven't announced that officially yet, but...
Sorry about that.
It's a scoop, Pete. Well done. It's a scoop. It's going to be on ABC. Yep.
And that's an away game in Queensland. And our first home game is on November the 9th against Adelaide United at McKellar.
And they've got plenty of sponsors on board, so things are looking good.
certainly is for that. Staying with the local themes, junior futsal starts this week, so we want everybody to get their shooting boots out. Lots of goals in junior futsal. Men's Premier League and Women's Premier League futsal continue as well this week. We'll be bringing you some news on how that's going next week.
Danai Gapare, Stephen Dominici and Chris Bush are all in Uzbekistan, Tashkent, as everything happens in Tashkent these days, with the under-17s, the Joeys, or they're under-16s at the moment. But they were aiming for the World Cup, but unfortunately they missed out, losing to Yemen in 3-2 in the last minute of extra time, or in injury time, rather. So great to have the three boys from the ACT ACTAS programme in the squad, but obviously disappointing to miss out.
And there's no Canberrans in the Socceroos squad. I don't really know what's going on there. We'll talk Socceroos a little bit later on. But Dane Milovanovic and Sam Munro are playing in the Asian tournament in Thailand. They played Korea in the final and they ended up the winners on penalties.
ACT Player of the Year awards night happened on Friday and we'll be talking to Russ and getting all the goss as Russ was our near post expert on the night.
We've got some Canberra A-League news here as well. A night with Ned Zelich is going to be on November the 6th for all Foundation members and fans of the Canberra A-League bid, and indeed any fans of Ned Zelich himself. It's free, but numbers are limited, so to guarantee your spot, sign up as a Foundation member. Do we have any other details on that, Russ, other than the date, where it's going to be?
I don't know at the moment. Nate Amon might be able to throw a bit more light on that, but I don't, unfortunately, at the moment. But as soon as we get some news on that, we'll certainly carry on with that. SBS Radio and Goulburn Radio have all taken interviews with the Canberra A-League bid leader Ivan Slavich as interest in the bid grows from outside Canberra. And Sydney investors were in town today for talks. That is the rumour that we've had. Whether or not that's true, we can't substantiate on that, but I've got a little bit of a feeling that it may have been.
There's been some huge developments in the A-League bid. Been investor talks all day today with somebody, some people from outside of Canberra, and things are looking amazingly positive.
Do you know something we don't?
I do. I was at the talk, so I can't reveal more on that because, as they say, you know,
listeners can see your poker face on the radio. You know?
Absolutely, eh? Absolutely straight face. But no, things are looking really good, and also there's another major international brand sponsor on board. So I guess the official announcement will come down the track.
That's fantastic news there. And staying with it, we can move on to the W League. And Stephanie Tokic, a Canberran and ACTAS player, signed for Adelaide United, which is a little bit of a disappointment for Canberra United fans. Maybe that would have been nice if we could have kept another local girl here, but that's a good move for Stephanie, and she'll sign for Adelaide United and take part in the W League when it kicks off next weekend.
SBS Radio interviewed and Goulburn Radio have interviewed Ivan Slavich recently as it bid for the A-League, or interest in A-League grows, and you can catch that on the podcast on the World Game podcast. Ivan was talking to Scott McIntyre on the World Game radio show.
And the final bit of news I've got here is that the New South Wales Premier League applications close. There's still one spot open, I understand. Whether or not one of the local teams might want to put their hand up for that, Belconnen United or Canberra FC have the facilities and the playing staff, whether they want to put their hand up for that, that would be good.
Better be quick. Closing dates tomorrow.
Absolutely, but I'm sure they've got the staff in place for that.
Okay, thanks for that, fellas. We're going to go now to an interview with Ellie Brush, who is an ACTAS person and is now one of the new players for Canberra United.
I'm joined now by Ellie Brush. Ellie's been signed up today for Canberra United. Ellie, what do you feel about this?
Oh, it's all very exciting. I'm quite excited about the whole prospect of the new National League and playing with what looks like to be a great team and great coach and everything. So, yeah, really excited.
No, it is a great time and a great opportunity, I guess. How confident were you of getting selected?
Kind of. Confident. I suppose you have to be to, you know, make sure you play your best and at the trials and everything. I've been like with ACTAS for the past 5 years and was playing in the previous National League, so got a bit of experience as well. So I suppose that played in my favour a bit. Yeah.
So Ellie, obviously, you know, you played in the previous National League. A bit of a break there in terms of a professional or development pathway for you. Mm. Has that been frustrating for you?
Yeah, it has a little bit. The only games we've been able to play are in the local 15 boys comp with the ACTAS team. So there hasn't been much opportunity for competitive games at all, especially against other states and, you know, other competitive teams. So it's just been a few years of kind of going along through going through the paces and training, I suppose, to develop some skills. So it's been, you know, a good few years of, so yeah, really exciting for the new league.
So I mean, that's pretty dedicated, actually, Ellie, to, you know, to hang in there when there was no league to play for, and now I guess you're reaping the reward. So what are your thoughts now? You're going to have your first game up in Newcastle, and you're just a couple of weeks away. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect. Yeah, it'll certainly be an eye opener, I suppose. Hopefully, get a starting spot, and yeah, that's what I'm aiming for. So yeah, it'll be, you know, bit of a eye opener, as I said. So,
For people who haven't seen you play, Ellie, what's your normal position, or what are the number of positions you can play?
I'm at the moment a defender, so right full back or left or centre or wherever I get chucked, really. But I've just recently moved to the defence, so I've only been there like the past year. So before that I was midfield forward, and yeah, just new lease on life in the defensive line, I suppose.
Fantastic. Now you're also studying, I believe, down in Albury. How difficult would it be for you, you know, to keep your fitness and training with the team, with given that you're you know, out of town, I suppose?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I'll be training back in Albury during the week with my club coach down there, doing individual fitness sessions and gym sessions. And every weekend I'll be coming back and training Friday night with the team, and then playing on the weekends.
Okay, and some of the games are going to be on TV, and I think the first Canberra, or certainly one of the Canberra home games, is going to be on the TV.
Yep, the second game, I think, up in Brisbane.
Yep.
We'll be live on TV, which will be great, and another one on the 22nd, I think November.
So. Yeah, so we're all pumped in Canberra for a great start for the Canberra United team, but hopefully there's no pressure.
No pressure, no. Hopefully not. Hopefully we'll get some good support from the Canberra fans, and
I think you will get some good support. But also, Sarah Walsh, the Matildas, playing for Sydney FC, she spoke this week about how they were going to win the league. And what do you think about that sort of statement?
Big statement. I suppose it kind of pumps us up to that they're wrong.
That's it, yeah, give it straight back to her.
Exactly.
And that was Ellie Brush there, talking about the upcoming Canberra United season. Russ?
Yeah, staying with the Canberra United theme and staying with the near post theme, we've actually can reveal that we're going to have commentary rights to the all Canberra United home W League games, rather. Let's hope we can get the A League ones further down the line. Starting with the match against Adelaide United at McKellar on the 9th of November, and that will be in our brand new Sunday show, the Near Post Sunday, whatever we're going to call it. We haven't quite decided on a name yet, but we've got a good 3 hours or so on a Sunday to cover the W League games in their entirety. Hosting people back here, we'll have Kev Room and Aaron Walker, I'd imagine, will be the guys sitting in here, and Plastic Pete over the table from me will be coming in from time to time on the W League games. And of course, when there's no W League game on, we'll still be here, we'll still be talking football. Good news, guys.
Fantastic news, and we can also announce on air live tonight the match day commentator will be none other than Russ Gibbs. So well done, Russ.
Thanks
very
much.
You've got the gig.
I'm looking forward to it.
Were there any other applicants for that gig?
There was heaps. It was huge,
Simon Hill, I think I turned down Simon, didn't
I've been going, that's all I've been doing for the last 2 weeks is looking through applications. You wouldn't be like, yeah, there's been
choice gig.
So we want, you know, get up to speed on your women players. I know you haven't watched a lot of women's football in the last 10 years, but now's the time to start, Russ. We need you as an expert. And also the games are going to be not only called live, but they're going to be streamed across Australia and the world.
Superb, so everybody can listen to us talk about Canberra United marching towards the W League Championship.
So I think we've got a little bit now about Capital Football Presentation Night. I wasn't there. Eamon, were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
But Russ was there.
Yeah,
Russ
wasn't invited. Wasn't invited.
That was after what you did last year.
Not surprising, yeah.
I scored an invite, though. I was very lucky to be there. It was a good evening at the Hellenic Club.
So there were a few surprises?
There were. I can reveal the players of the year. You may have read about them already. The men's player of the year was Robbie Schroeder from Canberra Olympic, and the men's coach of the year was Paul Gaghetti from Woden Valley, who we're hoping to get in as a guest in a few weeks' time. The women's player of the year was Rachel Crittenden from Western Creek, and the coach of the year was Bell West Foxes' Pat Mills, not surprising because they won the treble. And the Golden Boot Awards at top grade went to Paul Ivanich from Canberra FC with 21, and Michaela Day from Bell West with 11. But there was a couple of surprises. I think Robbie Schroeder as Premier League player of the year surprised a lot of people that were present on the night.
Who was the hot tip?
The hot tip would have been probably one of the guys that was banging in the goals all season, Paul Ivanich. Dustin Wells, who had a superb grand final, he was up there or thereabouts.
Is it a case there, Russ, if Robbie Schroeder's with Olympic, is he?
He said he is with Olympic, yeah.
If you don't play for the very top team, that you're often the top team, the players, the points get spread around, or is that not the case?
I think it usually is. I mean, the surprising thing about Robbie is that they've been playing him at right back for most of the season, and he's not a natural right back, and he's done superbly well to be in there. And don't get me wrong, he's a quality player, and he does deserve his award. But in a Canberra Olympic star-studded lineup they have as well, they've got some great players. Yeah. They must have all taken points off each other. And congratulations to Robbie on winning that award ahead of some very illustrious names.
In the women's game, Rachel Crittenden.
Not really a surprise, really, for Rachel. She's been in sound form all year, and we did mention that when the Western Creek went down in the grand final, her marker, Sophia Mercurius, she was named the Julie Murray medal winner, basically because she kept Rachel in check, and there's not many people that have done that this season. And Rachel, one of the stars of the women's game.
Should also mention, just on a side note there, Steve Hogg, known to many people across ANU. Pete, you know Steve Hogg?
I think he was there before my time, actually.
Yeah.
He's talked about in legendary, revered status.
Well, he's a former socceroo, and interestingly some of the names like Giampaolo and Valeri, we've talked about them in the past. Carlia Hogg, his daughter, is the next one off the production line of former socceroos, and she's going to play, she's joining the under 17 squad. I think she's much younger than that, but she's certainly going up to the Australian under 17 squad.
Can we get her to the ANU? Never mind the Australian under 17 squad.
That's right, get her straight into the ANU title. So
it should be some father daughter type arrangement like they have in the Aussie rules, father son type thing.
Yeah, why not?
All right, well, if they don't have one, we can start one,
That's right, I think you guys could do with them. The father-son sort
or father-daughter, especially in the women.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but it's great to hear that they've got another youngster coming through the ranks that will be pushing for a start in the Canberra United team in a few years' time.
She's just come back from England, apparently, where she's been with the Chelsea Academy, so... obviously learnt some tips from Jose. Jose.
Oh, am I not saying it?
Sorry, I was on Satanta Sports here.
We don't talk about Chelsea on our show.
No, we don't.
But yeah, it was a good night. There was about over 500 people there, which for a Capital Football presentation night was very well done.
It's great. I like the way they put the men and the women together. It wasn't always the case, but now they put them all together and it seems to work really well.
It certainly did. And there was some good times had by all. And I think there was a few drinks down by everybody that was there.
You didn't win an award, Russ.
I did win an award.
You did?
Yeah, I got a golden boot for one of the lower grades.
You kept it quiet. Yeah,
and you're not wearing it around your neck?
Come on. It's not like yours.
I was fortunate to win an award.
What grade?
Division 9.
Division 9. Yeah. Do we even go down to that?
This is the sticking point of mine here.
Division 5,
Yeah, well, it is, the grassroots. This is where it all happens, He's not doing it for the money. He's clearly not doing it for the looks. So sorry, Russ.
He's doing it for the goals. How many?
40-odd this year.
40 goals, Pete.
Just a lazy 40,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
You almost didn't want to admit that.
No, he does. He tells me every week off air. Don't worry. He's desperate to ask.
You shouldn't have to tell you. He should just wear the boot around his neck.
Yeah, Eamon can read about it every week.
Okay, so 40 goals this Div 9. What next year? You're obviously working your way down the grades.
Yeah, I think I'll be down to Masters soon. I had a birthday on Monday. So
that's a bit of a put down. Is Masters below Div 9?
I don't know. I mean,
it depends if you win or not.
I think the main problem is it's a 9 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday morning, which is going to be a little bit of.
I've heard they're bringing in Div 11 for you next year,
which would be fantastic. Yeah. And I'm sure I'll have a run.
Look, I know we poke fun, but the fact that we have Div 9s and Div 11s in Canberra. When I started playing, and it wasn't that long ago, it went down to Div 4. It just shows that, well, A, football's becoming more popular, and B, we can't give the game away when we play it.
We do poke fun. I was talking, as I dropped that I was at the A-League investor meeting today, and one of the things I said is the Capital Football they've got so many players under their banner over the last number of years that when an A-League team comes, it is the fact that we've got the 4s, 5s, 6s, 9s, and like you say,
11.
People are playing for life, and they stay with the game. So that is what is going to help the A-League eventually succeed in this town, isn't it? The fact that so many people play, they're passionate about it at a playing level, and
it's not a bad start.
It's not a bad start if you want to go across to get people at a game. When if they're all playing, it's not that hard to get them over the line to go and watch.
And I was fortunate enough this year to have a run in a few other grades as well, Div 6, and I played against Pete's team in Div 5.
Surprised you didn't get a goal award in that, you know, if you're in Div 6.
He begged 7 goals in a game.
You must have been close.
He was telling me in the green room.
Something like that.
I told you, he always told you, didn't have any goals.
We like to talk it up. But yeah, I was fortunate to play in Div 3 as well. And the great thing is that there's a fair bit of talent floating around in all those grades down there, and everybody plays in the right spirit, or most of them, in the right spirit, in the right game. And the further you go down, you can tell it's people that are there for the love of the game. They want to play football. These guys turn up week in, week out, whether it's raining outside, windy, sunny, doesn't matter. They're still there on a Saturday afternoon pulling
it's
on the
tragic,
boots for
isn't
their
it?
Team till whenever they can't do it anymore. Some of them can't even run around anymore, but we're still out there having a go.
We don't let that stop them at the ANU. Can I ask Russ a question? I know we talk about golden boots at Capital Football Presentation Night. Do they have anything for goalkeepers?
They don't, which is a bit of a shame, but my ex-flatmate...
Pete's a goalkeeper, we should just point that out.
My flatmate, who I used to live with, a guy called Brett Dickens, they have a Golden Gloves Award at Canberra City every year for
we
the
have
best
one
goalkeeper.
ANU
do as well. They don't have it at Capital Football. That's a very good idea, and I think it's something that should be brought in.
Okay, the Near Post has a new campaign.
Golden Gloves
we
Award.
Want golden
hey, that's
gloves.
My idea.
It's Pete's idea.
It's a Sunday
it's
show.
It's a Sunday show. Yeah, it was not on the Tuesday show, but it's a definite Sunday show idea.
We're not even on the air and we're already blazing a new trail.
It's come from Plastic, who is a goalkeeper, but it's...
No, I think it's a justifiable thing to bring up. I think the goalkeepers...
I want a left-back award as well.
That'll get you silly. They're the mainstay of the team at the end of the day. You can't win anything if you haven't got a good keeper. And I think, and in most teams, it's the position where nobody wants to go.
And Pete, you're the goalkeeper. Your team didn't win anything, did it?
Oh, look, I thought we said we weren't going to talk about that.
No, okay. I had to mention it. All right.
Hi, my name is May. I am 7. My favourite soccer player is Lucas Neal.
If you're going to the Near Post,
arrivez première.
Oh, boy. Where are we now?
We finished talking about Div 9 and my goals, I think.
Look, I think it would be remiss of us today if we didn't talk at all about the Socceroos. They're playing tomorrow night in Brisbane. They're playing Qatar. And, what do we know about Qatar? Do we know anything about Qatar?
We do. We know it's in the Middle East. We know the capital, don't we?
Oh, not top of my head, I don't.
Damon, not that.
Just know the capital.
Look, I can tell you one thing.
Don't worry.
What is the capital?
No, I honestly don't know.
Doha.
Doha.
Okay.
Well, yeah. You're just messing with me.
Messing
I know
with you.
Qatar actually has the highest GDP. I'm saying all this because I think I'm a firm believer of you need to know your enemy. You know,
are they our enemy?
Well, they are tomorrow night.
Absolutely. We want to thrash them.
We've played them twice. Surely, if we know them.
Yeah. Well, I know that Pim Verbeek is talking up our chances against the Qataris.
Which is interesting to me because he never really talks up the Socceroos' chances. But this time, he has really talked it up that we are going to win, he said, which he never really stuck his neck on the line.
Well, he's very confident. I mean, we beat them 3-0 last time they were here.
What's all that about?
Maybe it's based on the fact that we did beat them 3-0 last time.
Maybe he's going to play some forwards for a change.
Don't be silly. Well, he's not Graham Arnold, so he might get some attacking football.
He did
out
play
of
an attack against Qatar at home last time, didn't he? When they went 3-0, and then he took the game to them.
I think he feels they're our whipping boys. Would that be going too far to say that? Just to completely shoot them out of the water before the mind games even begin.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, psychologically, we beat them 3-0, 3-1 away and at home. So you'd have to be thinking that if we're not going to win in Brisbane, what chance have we got?
Yeah,
you've got and they've changed the coach. Yeah. They're under pressure.
Is that Metsu?
Bruno Metsu, he's come in, the Frenchman.
I think there'll be a different proposition under Metsu, to be honest. I think there'll be a better organised side than they were under Fossati.
Yeah, but they haven't had him. He hasn't been there for long.
Sometimes you find that when you get a new coach in, doesn't matter how long he's been there, players...
We're
going to
psych him out, mate. We're just...
Something that's come across my desk this week is a little peek into the mindset of Bruno Metsu. It was a little interview he gave to the Australian Press. I'd just like to take a quote here. I'm ready in my mind because I take this job and I know the first game is Australia. I sleep Australia. I dream Australia. Night and day, all I think about is Australia.
He sounds like me.
Are you sure you're not Bruno Metsu?
He's not that crazy.
Have you got any more on that quote?
It is the same as when France played Senegal. In my mind, I think every day and every night about this game. Now, look, this can go either way.
Yeah,
he's either a complete nutter... Because he just can't switch off, or he's the greatest footballing genius this world has ever seen.
So when you're thinking Australia, what do you think he's thinking?
Maybe he's watching Neighbours.
Spoken like an Englishman there.
I think so, yeah.
No, seriously, I mean, does he get into the mindset? Does he get here a month early? Does he have a photo of Lara Bingle on his wall? How does he
think? That's what Australians are thinking, is it? I mean, you're probably the only true Australian Oh yeah.
Oh no, actually, I was born overseas.
Me too. Okay.
So who knows? Well, if anybody knows, like, please feel free to email us.
I've been trying to think like an Australian for 20 years, but.
And is
I don't know.
So none of us were born in Australia.
Maybe he's thinking rugby league.
Oh jeez, we've got no chance tomorrow night.
Maybe
have we
should ask Peter Fitzsimons. He knows everything, apparently.
Now, Qatar, Australia's current ranking, quickly.
Oh, you know, we're up there about number
35, I'd say, is it?
34, 35, okay. Yeah. Well, Qatar's currently ranked 81 in the world.
Yeah.
So we've got them there.
Whipping boys.
Rankings mean nothing.
Oh, they must mean something.
They mean nothing. Ranking in football, it means nothing, does it? I mean, you guys were ranked in fifth grade. You were ranked first.
We were.
And you lost. So rankings, I'm over.
Where's that cough mute button there, Raymond?
How many times have I mentioned that in this show, Pete?
Not enough.
Two times too many.
There's plenty more time to go.
The real strength of Qatari football, is it Qatari or Qatarian or am I saying?
Qatari.
Okay, yeah. I think the real strength of Qatari football is Brazil.
Or Uruguay.
No, hang on. Look, I do know that Qatar has a small number of foreign players who have played for Qatar for more than 2 years. They've got two Brazilians, three Senegalese, and one Uruguayan.
That's half a team.
Yeah, but all six of them are goalkeepers.
No.
Well, it's
that's not going to help Bruno, is it?
It's not really, is it?
Do you think they went because Bruno was coming from Senegal, or?
Surely they got there before he did.
Yeah, but maybe they knew he was coming, and maybe that's why he's gone.
Maybe it is.
He's gone to see his mate.
Well, I think he went to visit them, and they just hooked him off the street when they sacked the other guy.
Tell us more, Pete. Tell us more.
Well, the real strength of Qatari football is in youth. I don't know if anyone remembers this. I was certainly too young. Huh. In 1981, they lost the final of the FIFA World Youth Championship to West Germany. So the runners-up in the world at youth level.
That's fantastic. So 1981, those 81. Guys are now about 40 or 50.
They were 20 at the time.
What about the next generation?
What, Masters? hang on. Okay, so that was 81. 1990, finished fourth in the FIFA Under-17 World Cup.
1990?
So that's 18 years ago, Under-17.
Yeah.
So that'd be 36. Sorry, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're going backwards. Although they've done well at youth level.
Something's clearly going wrong, okay, in that transition point. You know, I don't know what it is. Are they going to Europe and getting swallowed up by the major leagues? Or they are clearly cutting it at world level.
They're obviously bringing in... what the problem is, I'll tell you what the problem is, Pete. They're bringing in too many foreigners. too many Brazilians and Uruguayans and Senegalese. They should stick with the young fellas who have made it to the... But Youth Cup.
How many people in the squad? 22? There's 16 of them are the locals.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, for people who are saying they are an oil-rich country, they do have a lot of money, they have the highest per capita GDP in the world. Okay, that went well.
No, exactly.
But, you know, as far as the country, you know, it's largely expats. So I think it's no surprise that you're going to have a few foreign players there. If six of them are goalkeepers, then so be it.
The other thing is, if it just goes to show, if you've been strong at youth football, there's no guarantee that a good 17-year-old is going to be a good 26-year-old on the world stage.
True story, and I can put England in that phase, in that category.
You were going to talk about your own experience.
Under 21s in England, they've not lost a match at that level for about 4 years.
And when did England ever win anything at national level?
Exactly. Eh? Yeah, there you go.
I'll tell you when, 1966. Do you remember it?
Yeah, so they're due.
I don't remember that, unfortunately.
Over 40 years ago.
Maybe we need to start importing people like this Sebastian Quintana or Soria.
We don't need to import anybody.
Is.
We're okay.
I'm talking about England there.
Oh, England.
Because Qatar have got him, and he's the main danger for them tomorrow, I understand. He's a
midfielder, striker?
Centre-forward. Of some repute, scores a lot of goals.
It won't matter.
Big guy.
Timmy Cahill's back.
Can we get some predictions, Eamon?
We can. Australia to win 3-1.
Oh, so we'll leak one at the back.
Craig Moore's playing.
I don't even think with Craig Moore it's going to make any difference. 3-0 Australia.
Well, I'll say 2-2.
Is that your first ever prediction on air? 2-2, what do you mean?
2-2?
Just to mix it...
That's anti-Australian. That's
just to mix it up a little bit.
2-2?
2-2.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck.
I'm not even going to be watching.
No.
No, it'll be a great game. I mean, they're predicting, how many people?
Yeah. It hasn't sold out. They've only got 30 or 40,000 sold, so that's a bit surprising to me, but there you go.
Well, the Tuggeranong United crew are heading up there again, that they always do. The guys that you caught up with in the Asian Cup, they're up to... Brisbane again.
Good,
for
a bit
match.
Cheaper to go to Brisbane than Bangkok.
A little bit cheaper.
Yeah. Well, Pete, I think that was fantastic. Your first show ever.
Can I get out of here now?
I think you can, yeah. Good.
Thanks. Thank you, Eamon. Thanks a lot for having me. I'm sure I'll pop up. I'm not sure if I'll pop up again after that performance, but thanks for having me. Russ, thank you.
No worries, mate. Thanks for coming in.
We're going out now.
We are going out now, and you can hear from Pete on the... Pete will be here on Sundays from probably 3 to 5. We'll have more on that later. And wherever you are, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.